We'll get underway. Genesis chapter 39. While you're doing that, I want to welcome those of you that are just tuning in on the YouTube channel. We do appreciate you finding us and joining in our worship with us. Those of you that are listening in through the audio on the website, we welcome you as well. And we look forward to what the Lord has for us this morning through His Word. Genesis 39, look down at verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, that's Potiphar, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Just a reminder that for some time, we've been working out the theme and the central truth that's found in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, of young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams. And we have set aside the charismatic false teaching of that verse, which falsely applies it to anything that you want to dream up on your own, through your own will and covetousness. You can have it if you have enough faith. And of course, they redefine faith as well to where it comes out as being nothing more than the power of positive thinking, motivated by a fleshly mind. That's not what that verse is referring to. We saw that the primary application of it is to the nation of Israel. That was partially fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, and it will be completely fulfilled during the end times following the rapture. But there's also a secondary spiritual application to the church, and that's where we see visions and dreams of the Lord's will, not our will, but His will, as He has revealed His will to be in His Word. And then He carries that will out, and it's worked out by His providence. So the will of God is definitely something that applies to the church of Jesus Christ and to every individual in the body of Christ. But the tendency here in the latter days is to default back to the fleshly nature, to follow our own wills and our own plans and live according to human nature and react to events and circumstances as do lost people with frustration and aggravation and even anger and fear rather than following God's will and purpose and living according to His power and the new nature that He gave us at salvation. Now, our final illustration and picture of this theme in Joel 2 that we've been seeing is in the life of Joseph. It is just a little bit confusing, though, because instead of seeing a vision in chapter 37 from God's word of His will for Joseph's life, and then when he's an old man dreaming dreams of how that will was worked out in his life in order that he will give glory to God and counsel to the next generations and encourage them as they begin to see visions of God's will for their lives with their limited understanding. But instead of seeing a vision, it said that he dreamed a dream. So that seems kind of backwards, but that's easily explained because at that time God's word was not written. It was oral and only 36 chapters long at that point. So it would be correct to say that he saw a vision of God's will for his life from a dream of God's word. So now that vision is beginning to work itself out. Now, if you'll jump ahead to chapter 50, We already know how it ends anyway, so this isn't a spoiler. Genesis chapter 50, verse 22, it says, Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the, that's his son, to the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. So there's the old man dreaming his dream out to the younger generation, telling and explaining to them how the Lord worked out his will in his life and how he's going to do the same in their lives as well. That's what's missing in our churches today. Young men are no longer seeing visions and understanding of God's will for their lives from God's word. And old men are not encouraging them and telling them of how God led them in their lives. We're separating generations into their own special services. Younger people need to be around older people to get the wisdom and experience that they have so that they can be mentored. And older people need to be around younger people to get some of that enthusiasm and energy. Yeah, the old men laugh. So far we have seen about this dream of Joseph as the Lord begins to work out his will and vision. Number one, a dream is beyond our control. Two, a dream is beyond our understanding. Three, the details of a dream are revealed gradually as we walk with him. Four, a dream has that God has given you will be disliked by others. Five, a dream does not unfold like you think it will. You will even find yourself going where you don't want to go, doing what you don't want to do, which catches us up and gives us a review to those that are just joining us in this theme. We are at number six. A dream involves temptation and testing through adversity. A dream, as God's will for your life begins to unfold, you will find yourself in places of temptation and testing through adversity. This is going to explain, hopefully, and encourage you when it looks like the Lord, through circumstances, is putting you in the opposite direction of your initial understanding of his will for your life. Joseph knows that the Lord is going to one day place him in some kind of a position of high authority, so much so that his family is going to come and his brothers are going to come and bow down themselves to him and to his authority over them. But he has been betrayed by those same brothers and thrown into a pit, removed and sold into slavery in Egypt. A position where there's no possibility of freedom to return home or to pursue the vision of God's will in his own power and planning and ability. The temptation and the testing through adversity for Joseph involved three separate incidents of temptation, just like it did for the Lord in the wilderness those 40 days. And all three involve some sort of slavery. Even though slavery has been abolished and is illegal, it has not been abolished. They say it's been abolished, but it hasn't. Forced labor still goes on. The sex trafficking still goes on. As long as sin exists, slavery is going to exist, because sin of any kind is slavery. It is bondage. It does bring addictions. Joseph's first temptation was this forced labor as a slave. And your only compensation as a slave is that you're given free food, housing, clothing, and free medical care. Well, insofar as the possibility of recovery so that you can go back to work is there. Otherwise, they say your quality of life is over and they end your life. That's free medical care. I'm not making a political statement. I'm just talking. I'll make that in just a minute. You see, that slavery still exists today. They just renamed it Marxist socialism. Okay, there's my statement. A lot of folks feel trapped in a job, and it feels like slavery, but it's not, because you still have a freedom of options. You can quit. Now, when you're tempted to quit, and it's not God's will, it's not going to turn out, because what's going to happen is the next job's going to be worse. So follow God's will and God's leading. But that trap is still there because jobs create difficulties just for the fact that it's labor. Work has been cursed by God. Say, I hate my job. Well, join the crowd. God cursed the ground. And he said, from this day forward, there's not going to be an enjoyable work in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be toil. You're going to work by the sweat of your brow. You're not going to enjoy it. And what's going to come up when you plow and plant is thorns and thistles. Broccoli. There's going to be stress. There's going to be difficulties. And because of that, your body is also affected. If your body is not affected by the curse, you'll never age. You'll never get wrinkles. You'll never grow old, and you'll never die. You'll just wander around the sanctuary like you're trying to figure out where to go. Thank you for that illustration. Yeah. One of the ushers might want to help them find their pew, you know. You do get kind of old and feeble and forget where you are. If there wasn't a curse of our body, we'd never die. Death came as a result of sin. God didn't create us that way. But one of the effects of sin is death. And so you're going to have problems with your body. Just count it. Just mark it down. You're going to start having aches and pains the older you get. That I'm sure not looking forward to getting old. Stop laughing. Go to get out of bed, and the muscles say, no, not yet. It's going to take about 3 minutes to get going and woke up good. So the same applies to work. So if you're looking for a job that you're going to get happiness from and fulfillment and contentment, it's just not there. Joy and peace and contentment and fulfillment, happiness, the only source of that is not a job. The source of that is Jesus Christ. And then regardless of the job that you're led to do, the Lord is with you as he was with Joseph. And I know some folks are going through some difficulties on their job, but just as a perspective, compare that to the slavery that Joseph is going through. It's not near that severe. But yet it says that God was with him and he moved his employer or his master to find favor in his sight. And so much so, Joseph was so faithful in serving the Lord. He was serving the Lord, not Potiphar. But in serving the Lord, he served Potiphar. So much so that Potiphar even recognized that God was with him. That God was not only blessing Joseph, but blessing himself, Potiphar, as well, as a result of his faithfulness. The Lord opens doors. So be patient and wait on the Lord to do that and to lead you. And he will, once the lesson is learned, he'll lead you to a better position. Or he'll change and lessen the problems in the position you're at now. Or he'll change you and give you a greater grace and understanding of why you're there. Until then, change your attitude, which is in your control. Put your head down and do the best job that you can do with the skills and with the abilities that the Lord has given you. And look for opportunities to minister. In most cases, you are working primarily for and with lost people. And I'm going to tell you something. You think you've got problems as a Christian. They have no hope. So when they do go in through the crisis, when they do have difficulties, there's nowhere to turn but to other people. And the other people's advice is, well, it'll get better tomorrow, or you'll die, one of the two. You know, that's really encouraging. Or when they know you've got a problem, they turn around and go the opposite direction because you're no fun to be around. That's how lost people deal with problems. So look for those opportunities and minister to them. Invite them to come to church with you. Be kind, be courteous, regardless of their attitude and what they're doing. And just ask the Lord and pray that he would use you where you're at, which is exactly what Joseph did. He responded with faith and obedience to the Lord's providential leading that brought him there and allowed those things to take place. I know you're saying, preacher, that's easy to preach about. But really what you're talking about is something that's impossible. Well, let me clarify it first of all. I'm not saying this. Okay, I am a messenger that is delivering a message. The message is from the Lord. I'm just relating it and trying to explain it so that there's no misunderstanding there. So you say this goes against human nature. And this is an impossible way to live. And I'll tell you, you are absolutely correct. It is. The carrying out of God's will in your own power and our fallen sin nature is absolutely and totally impossible. But God is not going to ask you or command you to do something and then not give you the ability to do it. But wasn't the same thing true of salvation? As a result of coming in contact with the words of the gospel, I became painfully convicted of God's indictment of sin against me. I came into his presence through these words in the scripture. I came to him just as Nicodemus came. I came to him on his terms of reconciliation, a free admission of guilt. Lord, I am guilty of your charge against me of sin, but I want to be delivered from it. I want to be delivered from the misery that this sin is producing in my life. I'm sick of it. I want to be delivered, saved from this guilt of sin and the eternal punishment attached to it. I believe as best I know how these words that have said, you love me and you sent your son for me so that he would perfectly obey in every point your law, so that he could take away my sin and my guilt in my place on the cross and fully pay for it by his death and by the shedding of his blood. Then raised from the dead 3 days later, having conquered death, sin, and the devil, to freely offer eternal forgiveness and life. I believe that if I were to call on your name and ask you to forgive me and save me through what you did, that you will. Do you remember that? You couldn't do that on your own. You couldn't produce righteousness on your own. You couldn't satisfy the justice of God on your own. God birthed you. You placed all of your trust and dependence on him and what he says in his word. And that's what faith is faith in these words of Scripture. So just as we did that at salvation, when the new birth took place in our souls, we continue with that same reliance and dependence on God and faith in his word for the rest of our lives. That characterizes not only how we're saved, it characterizes how we live our daily lives. In every situation and in every circumstance that we find ourselves in, including a job, the Lord has led us to that job not just to take care of our bills, take care of our family. The Lord led us to that job as a place of service to serve him through. So remind yourself of these things and these truths when you're tempted to run and hide, when you're tempted to quit and throw in the towel and say it's just too hard. When you say that, you're telling me that you have not asked God to give you his strength and his ability. You're relying on your own, and yes, it's limited. But I want to tell you something about the Lord's strength and his ability and his power. It's totally unlimited. James says we have not because we ask not. And Joseph, just as he faithfully submitted himself to the Lord, he labored in the place that he found himself as unto the Lord, despite the difficulties and the injustice that he was going through with. Keep your finger in Genesis, run over the complete opposite end to 1 Peter. I want to look at just a couple of scriptures, and then we'll throw a bookmark in and pick up again next week, Lord willing. 1 Peter chapter 2. Those of you that do have difficulties on your job, please bookmark the second chapter of 1 Peter, especially when you become discouraged, when you're in the midst of a temptation or a trial related to your employment. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's start at verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims. Right? That's good. That's good to recognize the fact that we are pilgrims. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, that temptation is coming up. That's temptation number two. But temptation number one prepares you for the next temptation. He said, verse 12, having your conversation, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles or among lost people, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. When they're visited by the Lord with conviction and a call to come to Him. Verse 13, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I know it's hard. But you see, you're relying on human nature. That's why it's hard. Instead of on the Lord. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They're watching us. They're watching how we react to adversity, how we react to rules, how we react to when the boss says, do this, do we do it? Do we only work when the boss is looking? Do we do it like we want to do it instead of how the boss says that they want it done? See, people are watching. So because they're watching, that's why verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king. All right, we don't have a king. What do we have? That was hard to get out, wasn't it? Any of the guys, anybody in the military? Okay. You know what one of the first things we learn? You don't salute the man, you salute the what? Yeah. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, the Lord, for the punishment of evildoers, or for the church of Jesus Christ in this country that's not doing what the Lord has put the church here to do. And for the praise of them that do well. Verse 15, for so is the will of God. I mean, is this plain enough? This is the will of God. So if we're not doing this, we're not doing the will of God, we're doing our own will, and we're reacting in the flesh just like lost people do. And it becomes a part of our life, this reaction to something that we are against. And so people hear more griping and complaining of what we're against than the gospel of what we're for. This is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It's not pointing out their ignorance and foolishness. It's doing well, it's being kind, it's being courteous when they're not. But you see, they're being who they are. They're lost. They don't know God. So they're being honest. It's Christians who do know God, but is not living that out honestly. Instead, they're trying to blend in with the lost people. The Christians are the ones that's being dishonest. Verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, not using grace as an excuse to sin, not using the fact that we're forgiven as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. I'm forgiven. Verse 17, honor all men. Respect, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the office of president, regardless of who's in it. I'd remind you that the king that Peter is referring to is Nero. You want to put him against anybody over here? Verse 18, servants, employees, be subject to your masters, to your employers, with all fear, reverence, respect, because you're working for the Lord. Not only to the good and to the gentle, but to the froward, those that talk bad to you, those that cuss God. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. When you get to that place in your walk with Jesus Christ, that you can continue to walk with Jesus Christ despite the difficulties and circumstances, despite what people are saying about you, despite the confrontations that people come against you, despite the injustices, if you can still smile and serve God, the Lord says you're getting it now. You're understanding it. For he, even hereunto were you called. That's our calling. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Oh, as long as he's walking up the hill and to blessings, it's easy to follow him, isn't it? But when he goes down into the valley with the suffering, we say, wait a minute, that's not how I want to follow his steps. And with the Lord, it said he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What you put into your heart will come out your mouth. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. So if you keep watching the news that aggravates you and makes you mad and makes the little veins stick out in your neck, you know, what's going to happen is that's going to come out. Every time the subject of the other side, the other view, the other opinion, It's gonna come out. And when you get through spewing out all of the guile, you'll find that you will not have an audience to speak the gospel. I'm just reading. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. You see in this, and then he goes on to say, he ultimately went to the cross, and by his stripes were healed. And that healing is not of runny nose and ingrown toenails. That healing is of sin. One more scripture and we'll wrap it up. Hebrews. Just a couple books to the left. Hebrews chapter 12. only by the enabling power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, not only leading us into the will of God, but giving us the ability beyond ourselves to accomplish it, can this take place. One more example of the Lord, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, in chapter 11, he's just given us the testimonies of people in the Old Testament who lived by faith. Faith is not something unique to the New Testament. Faith began from the very beginning. Confidence in what God has said. We're encompassed with this cloud of witnesses. Not only are there testimonies before us to encourage us, but they're witnesses. They're seeing. They're knowing. He said, because of that, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now there's the key. All the problems, difficulties that trials, that temptations produce, keep this in mind. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Don't focus on the problems. If you're focused on your problems and difficulties, they'll get bigger and bigger. And that's all you'll talk about. How are you doing? I'm so glad you asked. Let me pull out the list. If you're focused on Jesus Christ, and by the way, when you're focusing on the problems, Jesus gets awful small. But when you focus on Him, He gets big and your problems get real small. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. The joy set before Him? On the cross? What was the joy? He wasn't looking at the suffering He was going through with. He wasn't looking at the people passing by and mocking Him and reviling Him. He was looking at us. He was looking at what is going to be ultimately accomplished when He says it is finished. So may we, as we go through the trials and difficulties, particularly as it's related to employment, because it takes up such a big chunk of our time, may we not look at the difficulties and problems and focus on them. May we look to Him and look to the joy that He sets before us of what the trial and the difficulty is going to produce in us. And how He's going to use it to affect other people spiritually. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Joseph had been promoted. Now the temptation, by the way, he was promoted and promoted until he achieved the highest position. He was overseer over all of Potiphar's operations. In other words, he's the boss now. Some of you that are supervisors. When you get to be supervisors, don't say, yes, now I can just be as mean and nasty and unjust as my boss was to me. No, that's not how it works. Because you also work for the Lord. The temptation for Joseph now is to not leave. Okay, Lord, I get it. Yes, sir, I see now. I said, I'm going to be the big man now in Egypt. I mean, I am Potiphar's right hand, and he has the ear to Pharaoh. This sooner or later, people are going to come bowing down to me. I see this. No, Joseph, not quite. You've got two more temptations to go before you're ready for that. Be careful in between temptations, because there's a temptation to enjoy the peace and the quiet too much. Peter said, on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it's just good for us to be here. Let's stay. Let's not go back down in the valley where all that work is, where all those lost people are. Let's just build a tabernacle. Stay up here. Folks, let me tell you something. A 52-week vacation is not a vacation. You're not vacationing from anything. Retirement is because is that you now have more time to serve the Lord. Yeah, not quite as many amens as the other one. Joseph served and worshiped the Lord despite the adverse circumstances. He remained faithful. Joseph served and worshiped the Lord despite the good circumstances and the joy and the peace and the promotion he had, and he remained faithful. In between the temptations is to prepare you for the next temptation. Everything going well right now? The Christian life is a series of temptations and trials. It's a series of mountains and valleys. You're either here or you're here, according to what we need that the Lord knows that we necessarily don't know. So if you're on the mountain, prepare for the valley. If you're in the valley, endure the difficulty because you know you're about to be on the mountain soon. And each experience, the Holy Spirit is conforming you more and more into the image of Christ and producing more of a Christ-likeness in your life. So if you can put up with that guy on the job that you despise so much that you can even pray for him and be courteous and nice to him, imagine what you can do with God's people. Imagine how much more patient you'll be with your children who you love. Imagine how much better you'll get along with your wife or your husband that's not near as bad as that guy. Hopefully you're encouraged, because let me tell you something. You're saved. There's nowhere on this earth that you can go where God's not with you. So you remember that. And he knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're going through with. And he's waiting for you to come to him, just as we did with salvation. Say, Lord, I need your help to get through this. Father, sure do thank you this morning for your word. Where would we be without it? We'd be still trying to figure out for ourselves what we're supposed to do and not do. And that always ends in failure, frustration. Lord, I pray for my friends this morning here that are still lost, that's never been born again. Lord, that's the beginning. That's the start. You can never live until you're born. So, Lord, may we not try to change our fleshly behavior and reform it, but may you transform our hearts and lives through salvation. Lord, for your people, Lord, we need encouragement from your word during these days. when the lost are getting worse and worse, just as you say they would. So, Lord, we need to understand why they're acting and reacting like they do. Because, Lord, the solemn truth is we may be the only person standing between them and hell. So, Lord, help us to live beyond our ability and live in your ability and strength and be the Christians you saved us to be in order to do what you've called us to do, to stand in that gap and call people that are in misery and heartache and sorrow because of the consequences of sin and say, folks, there's a better way to live, and that's God's way, how we were designed and created to live. Lord, may we truly love them as you love them. Lord, may we pray for them. May we be patient and wait for them to have their eyes open to the truth of the gospel. Lord, may we enjoy in the meantime the fellowship with your people, the encouragement we get from being around your people, for the prayer and the prayer support, where our burdens become lighter because our other brothers and sisters in the church family are praying and help us carrying it. Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the folks that you have added here to the church. Thank you for what they bring, because it's exactly what's needed for the body to function as you've designed it to function. Lord, and help us reach this community and any other community outside that the media causes us to reach. Lord, may they be reached not by a messenger, but by a message. A message of your absolute truth and your absolute light in a time of darkness and uncertainty and fear. Thank you for the stability of life that you bring. Lord, for those that are struggling right now, I pray, those that are in a challenging job or a challenging profession, I pray, Lord, that they would follow not only the example of Joseph, but the example that you've set before us in your word. Lord, may we look to you for strength. May we look to you for guidance and for wisdom. And may we be obedient to that leading. Lord, if you've spoken to our hearts this morning, I pray we would not allow it to leave, but may we retain it into our hearts and live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.